start off, I want to ask you guys a question. You ready? What does it take to be a child of God? What does it cost? Let me give you a verse. Let's go into scripture for this one, because I don't know, I could be wrong, right? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. Another one. For God so loved the world, you might know this one, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the cost is laid out in front of us. It's free. Isn't that awesome? See, I'm over here saying there's a cost to everything. Everything, there's no good thing comes for free except for the gift of salvation, because it's just like it goes outside of what we can comprehend. And it will be like that for eternity. And that's where, when we get to heaven, we spend our eternal life worshiping him, understanding him in a deeper level for eternity. But the consensus is this, that God wants you in his arms. He wants you to be with him, be near him, not just close in proximity, but in unity, so much that he reduced the condition to just one thing, and that's belief. So that those who believe in his name shall not perish, but receive eternal life. For those who received him and believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. So it's free. There's no work to be done. There's nothing to be done except believe, because this is the one thing in your life that will never come as a cost. It's just, boom, there you go. It's just there. Entering God's kingdom is free, right? It's so simple, it's so profound, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. I'll say it again. Entering God's kingdom is free, it's simple, it's so profound, but it's not cheap. It comes at a price. You see, and this is where I get to talk about Jesus. Woo, this is gonna be exciting. Because Jesus, he did not hide. Listen closely, all eyes on me. He did not hide the cost from you. He does not hide the cost from us. He warns us about it. Through scripture, time and time again, he doesn't just give us vague promises, but warns us of the cost of following him, the cost of picking up your cross daily and carrying it out. Let me give you a story. For those of you who are around me a lot, you might hear a common theme. I like to talk about this a lot, and it's the rich young ruler. So can we get the verse up? Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. I'll read it with you. And behold, a man came to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother and father, and you shall have your neighbor as your, and love your neighbor as yourself." Sorry, that graphic's kind of like messing with me. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor. And if you have treasure in heaven, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's the cost. But what I want to make sure to clarify is I'm not asking you to be like this rich young ruler and just give up everything. Because the cost of following Christ in your life, it's measured on a personal scale. There is no blanket statement cover one for all cost. But what I want this message to convey, what I intend to speak about and just about, is for us to examine our hearts and to count the cost. What will it take for me to be fully surrendered to Christ? Because on the day of salvation, when we were given our salvation as a gift, when we for the first time acknowledged Christ, it came with a mission. You weren't just given your salvation just so you can, I don't know, not go to hell. It's like, oh, I'm saved, now I don't go to hell, and life is good, and there's nothing else I need to do. If that's how you want to live, go for it. But that's how, when you do get to heaven, it'll just be boring. Because the mission, what is the mission that is attached to your salvation? It is unity with Christ. It is to seek Him daily, to know Him, to know His voice. That is the mission. And it comes at a cost. Sorry to tell you. Every day. Because we're saved and we still live this life. God didn't just strike us down the moment we received His gift of eternal life so we can just be with Him. No, we're still here. Why? Because that's the mission. To know and be known by Christ Himself. That's all we need to know. Another passage. Luke 14, verses 27 and 230. We'll read this again. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So the cost is measured on a personal level, but you have to understand the cost is everything. The cost is everything. Anything less, it's too much. The cost of following Jesus. The cross is not light. When Jesus says, pick up your cross, it isn't a particle board piece of plywood. No, it's heavy, real wood. It's not fake at all. It's heavy. It's a price. But the price to do anything less is more great. It is more costly than to follow Christ. It is difficult, but choose. That's why you get to choose in this life whether you want to follow Christ or not, because it couldn't be more black and white. There is no gray area. There's what we call lukewarm, but what does God do? Spit you out. So it's important to understand when you count the cost, it's everything. But what does everything look like to you? What does it look like to you? What is your everything? You see, for the rich young ruler, it was literally everything. For someone like Zacchaeus, anyone familiar with Zacchaeus? It was half. When he saw Jesus, he willingly came to him without Jesus even asking him. He said, I will give up half of all that I have, and anything, anyone I have done wrong, I will restore fourfold. So he gave half and then some. But you get to decide whether you will go out on your own when you know Christ, when the cross becomes visible to your in front of you, and you say yes. Will you give up everything before he asks you, or will you hesitate? Will you wait until he comes and convicts you, not in a shameful way, but in a, hey, remember what you signed up for? This is what you signed up for. It's not easy, but I'm right here with you. So brothers and sisters, count the cost. This is the difference between Jesus just being is where Jesus is just our Savior and our Lord. Because he is your Savior, every single one of you. He saved all of us. But when he asks you to do something, will you do it? Yes, he is your Lord. If you hesitate, maybe that needs a little bit of work to be, maybe there needs to be some work there. Does that make sense? He is your Savior, but is he your Lord? A lot of thinking faces today, I see. Some heavy revies. Love it. Our salvation, it's given. It's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. One that cannot be taken lightly. But our obedience is what assures us of his lordship over our lives. Does that make sense? Are we starting to pick up the pieces here? Love it. So for the rich young ruler, again, it was everything. For Zacchaeus, it was half. But what is it for you? So back to the mission. Our salvation is attached to the mission. What is the mission? It is unity. Unity with Christ. This is the most important thing because this is what will make heaven, heaven. It will make it beautiful because heaven isn't heaven because of all the Hellcats and roller coasters and all the fun things. No, heaven is heaven because the living God dwells in this place. And when you seek to know Christ and you get to know all of him that you can comprehend, it is but a fragment of his true self. And that is why I believe heaven is for eternity, because it takes eternity to get to know how much God loves you. It takes eternity. Isn't that crazy? It's your whole life and then some lifetimes. And it makes so much sense in the grand scale of things. Why Jesus loves us so much. Why God sent a all-out mission to retrieve us back to himself. The mission is unity, not proximity. You cannot just settle to be just close, but to be one with Christ. That's why you have people in a church who think they're Christians, but they leave the building and they do some really questionable stuff. Just like you can sit in a garage and be and pretend to be a car. Oh, I identify as a car. I identify as an attack helicopter. No, you can do the same thing with being a Christian in a church. You can sit there all you want and tell yourself you're a Christian, but are you a child of God? Do you believe? Have you counted the cost? Less of me and more of you. That's the mission statement. At least that's what I say. Because that is what really counts, is less of me and more of you. Because in order for me to get anywhere, I have to leave something behind. See, this is like one of the laws of physics, the laws of inertia. An object at rest will stay at rest, but an object in motion will stay at motion when there is a catalyst, when there's something to cause it to move. See, your cost, the cost that you reveal to yourself and that you act upon in the moment the Lord speaks to you, that is what will carry you. That is what will propel you. That is the fragrance that brings God close, that brings him near, that draws him near like nothing else. Like the alabaster jar worth a fortune, just broken, boom. The cost. It wasn't just money. It was going out in the room with all of the religious leaders and embarrassing. She embarrassed herself in front of the religious authorities, in front of Jesus' disciples. It wasn't just a monetary cost. It was here, the heart. On to my next segment. This is for all of the, this is for all the Sunday school teachers. This is for all the ushers, the greeters, the ministers, maybe even the worship leaders or worshipers. Everyone in this house. This is inclusive to everybody here. Do you know the God you serve? See, this question does not come to condemn, but to clarify. Because if we serve Jesus in his house and we have not taken into the consideration of what it will do to my life if I were to go through with this fully, then I am deceiving myself into believing that I am actually serving him. That can come pretty heavy, but I'm here to say things that maybe somebody is not willing to say, because honestly, I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think about me. We cannot be deceived into thinking that we're serving God when we're only serving ourselves and we're using a covering of a house to justify and to make ourselves feel better about what we're doing. Just getting by is not enough. If you don't take this into consideration, you will feel this eventually. Just getting by. If you believe in Christ, in the crucified Christ, just enough to get you to next Sunday, you're missing a big point. My heart breaks for those who look to the choice that is before them and ignore the cost. Fathers who abandon their whole family for drugs, for addiction. It breaks my heart. It breaks it. But here's the thing. Intimacy is everything. This is the gap. Intimacy. This is where it stands in the gap. Intimacy. When you serve God in a place of intimacy, it doesn't matter what it is. You can be cleaning toilets, but if you do it with a serving heart, willing to do what it takes, because serving in God's house, no matter what it is, it's a privilege. Because if I wasn't doing this, man, my life would suck. I will tell you very honestly, my life would suck. I'd be, I don't know, delivering Amazon packages, you know, still to this day. Oh, no. See, that's a cost right there. That life is the cost, but so is following Christ and going after what he's going after. See, unity is when your wants become his. When the things you want and the things he wants start to come closer and into alignment. So ask yourselves, brothers and sisters, how big is the gap between what I want and what God wants? And if that gap is like this, it already costs too much. How do you get there? How do you close the gap? It's so simple, yet it's going to be the hardest thing in your entire life. You want to know what it is? It's to let go. Just let go. It's so easy. Oh, you're thinking, oh, easier said than done. Of course. What am I talking about? There's a cost. Of course there is. I would be lying to you if I said anything less. But I speak to you from a place of truly loving this house. Loving the people here. Because I wouldn't be here without the support of so many people. And I owe it to not only just everyone here, but to God himself to just say something. Maybe even as unpopular as it might seem. Intimacy will reduce deception in our lives. The more intimate I am with Christ, the more I know him. Just like the more intimate I am with my soon-to-be wife, the more I get to know her. The more I get to know her and I understand her. See, intimacy is what bridges the gap between what I know and what I don't know about him. So whatever you do, whatever you do for Jesus, whatever you do for your Father in heaven, do it from a come from a place of intimacy. Do it with a servant heart, willing to do go above and beyond and not just settle with 50%, with 80%, but your 100%, your everything. What is everything to you? What does it look like? What does it sound like? Are you aggressively pursuing what God has for you? Because if you are not aggressively pursuing the things of God in your life, that just sucks. It's just not gonna look good for you in the long run. It's gonna suck. This is good. See, when we lose track of this intimacy, this is where the things that we do for God become less of a privilege and more of a religious obligation. And this is where burnout begins to seep into our lives. When we don't come from a place of intimacy, when I just show up to church just to press a few buttons, to hold something, or to shake hands, if that doesn't come from a place of intimacy, then I lose track of the vision, of the mission that is set before me. Even as little as it might look like on the surface, what God can trust you with a little, he can trust you with a lot. Keep that in mind. Save that, put that in a little storage compartment in your brain. Keep that in mind, that'll help you out. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets. Jesus demonstrated it perfectly. He reduced himself to the lowest position in his society, which is washing feet. And here we are. We think when an opportunity comes to serve in God's house, we're thinking, I want to do that one. Why not that one? Come on, get over yourself. So I'm about to wrap things up. Just want to give you guys something short and sweet, to the point. It's been a while, so I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to say. So this is good. So here's my final statement. Something to leave with you guys. Call to action. Let his desires become yours. And understand that accepting anything less, it's a deception to think we're doing something for him when we're not even willing to say yes to the littlest thing we have for him. Guys, I come with emotions with this because I have been there. I have been there. God humbled me. As he does with a lot of us, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. It's all about him at the end of the day. And when we say anything less than a big resounding yes, we are just choosing ourselves. And the cost of that is too much. It's too much. Because yes, it's gonna be difficult to carry your cross, but anything else will be far more difficult. That's what this life is about, to choose what's going to happen in the next life. So decide. But first, examine your hearts. Look deep within yourself. Maybe ask a brother or a sister you're very close with. Accountability. This will go a long way. Be discipled. Don't think you're above discipleship. If you do, God will swiftly rebuke you. Swiftly, because you will never graduate discipleship. You will never graduate being a servant, being a student, being a lover of Jesus Christ, you will never graduate that. It will always be from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And when you allow your obedience to carry you through all of these things, intimacy is the glue that will bind everything together and keep you in the place where you belong, at his right hand, right beside him. Not just in proximity, but in unity. You and him are one. His desires become yours. You have to declare this thing. I must have Jesus Christ no matter the cost. No matter the cost. Let's all stand. Look, I don't want to do an altar call because, listen, if there is repentance in your heart, I want you to give that to God. But I don't want to waste my time. This is between you and him. If what I am saying lines up perfectly with what God has been speaking into your life, you can come talk to me. But save this public thing for private. Let it be something you give to God on your own. Because I'm telling you, from a personal perspective, it is personal. Repentance is so personal. Yes, there is fruit in declaring publicly that I am no longer ashamed of the things that I've done, and Lord, I repent for the things I have done and that I have said. But I want us all to just reflect. Take 30 seconds as I pray for you to just examine your hearts. And whatever God shows you, I want you to take it with you this week. And I want you to meditate on it. Pray on this. We've just had a week of fasting for the wells of revival in this house. But I believe revival begins personal, regional, and then it goes globally. But it starts with the personal. Let the revival inside of you begin to erupt. I thank you, Jesus, that you demonstrated the cost, not by telling us, but by demonstrating it physically on this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing in this house, for what you're doing in the hearts of each and every person in this place, and for those who are watching online. Let this message be seared deep into their hearts, Lord, that they know your love and that the consensus is that unity at all cost. This is the mission. Unity. Lord Jesus, we will not settle for anything less than your presence. Holy Spirit, we will not settle for anything less than your guidance. I understand, Jesus, that talk is cheap. But I seek to know you, Christ and Christ crucified, all the days of my life. Jesus, we bask in your presence right now. We receive all that there is to be had and to behold. We thank you for all of our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the community in this house. We thank you for the discipleship in this house. And we thank you for your indwelling presence in this place and inside of us. Oh, Jesus, we seek to be after you and only you. Anything less costs too much. Let whatever we do, Jesus, let it cost something. Let it be a fragrance that pulls you near, that draws you in. Let it be, Jesus. Let it be. be? I must have Jesus no matter the cost. Not in proximity, but in unity. I must have you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Woo! Can we just give God glory? And with that being said, family, I bless you, I release you. Have a beautiful week. Let whatever God showed you, let it carry on this week. Be blessed. Next week we got, what do we have next? We got the Super Bowl. We also have another cool, Seahawks are gonna win. We have a Super Bowl party if you're like a youngin', if you wanna join. I believe it's at 6 o'clock, so you have time to go and eat. There will be food at my expense, but please do not come hungry, but please do. See you next week, guys. We have youth on Wednesday, we have prayer on Friday, and we have church next week. But follow us on social media, follow The Sun People Youth Ministries at Instagram. See you next week.